Hello, Shiver Seekers. Are you ready to follow us into the unknown? I'm Cynthia.
And I'm Stephanie. You have found the Dark Oak. Today, we have a special edition. We're going to explore the death of Boeing whistleblower John Barnett. Was his death a suicide, or is there something more to his death?
Welcome to The Dark Oak, the mystery podcast with purpose. Each month, through our charity called the Branch of Hope Foundation, we give a portion of earnings from our Patreon and sponsors to a nonprofit organization related to the first episode of the month. To find out how you can be part of the movement, head over to thedarkoak.com or stay with us until the end of the episode and we will give you all of the details.
Cynthia, today's episode feels really important to me. I'm not really even sure what we call it because this is our first of its kind, a special report, special edition, because it's a current events unsolved mystery, crime, conspiracy theory. I don't even know what you would call it at this point, but it's all about the Boeing whistleblower who was recently found dead in his truck. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I felt so strongly about it. We collectively have decided to move our Branch of Hope case, which is normally airs on the first week of the month, to next week so that we can release this, again, special report about what's going on with Boeing.
And listeners, let me just tell you, if you are new to our podcast, there is no one you would rather have doing this research and covering this case for you than Stephanie.
Well, I will tell you, some of this was kind of written pretty, I'm not going to say hastily. I definitely did my research, but this is all changing as it goes. Right. So every time I went back to research it, new things happened. So I will say, between us recording this and it coming out in just a few days, there could be more updates and we'll try to update it as we can. But I definitely feel like my brain is draining out through my ears right now because there is so much. And some of it is genuinely shocking. Shocking, some of the things that I uncovered. And listeners, if you don't already know, Cynthia already has a fear of flying.
Oh, yes.
Please communicate what I've already shared with you,
Cynthia. Oh, let's see. What was it? Sometime between 9 and 10 last night, all I get is a text from Stephanie saying, "You are going to hate this." And I knew exactly what she was referring to, knowing that we were recording today and that we were going to be covering this case. And so for the last 12 hours, let's just say, I have been riddled with anxiety.
It's true. She even showed up this morning. Well, she tried to cancel this morning by saying she had a migraine and she had a big pity party about it. Okay, that's not actually true. She does have a headache this morning, so we're going to be easy on her. But yeah, so Cynthia is going to hate this. And I'm sorry if you have a phobia of flying. This is not going to sit well with you either, but so important. And it was really cool for me because when there was this whole report that this whistleblower possibly was the victim of homicide, it really made me stop and say, wait a minute, why? What's the big deal? And then I started researching and all these news articles I had seen over the past years and specifically months about Boeing's shortcomings really kind of came into full picture. And so I feel like this is really important to share so our listeners can kind of understand what's happening as well and can kind of keep up with the changing environment of really air travel.
All right. Well, I am intrigued, I guess.
You can just be scared. It's okay.
Let's just get through this, okay?
All right. Well, buckle in, okay?
Oh, I will.
So for those that have not seen the news articles, on March 19th of this year, so just 3.5 weeks prior to the publication of this episode, so by the time this episode comes out, it'll be 3.5 weeks prior to that, John Barnett was found dead from a suspected suicide in his orange Dodge Ram at the Holiday Inn parking lot in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, he was seen on the hotel surveillance footage leaving the building 24 hours before he was found dead. In his right hand, they found a silver gun. and in the passenger seat next to him was a piece of paper with a note, and in his temple was a gunshot wound. But all is probably not what it seems, because just a few days prior, before John left his home in Louisiana for a month-long trial against Boeing, the airplane manufacturing giant, he told his friend, quote, "If anything happens to me, it's not suicide," end quote.
I literally am already covered with chills. Like,
this is a weird case, and it's a little unsettling. So John Barnett was a whistleblower, as I mentioned earlier. He worked at Boeing for 32 years, and he had spent the last 7 years telling basically anybody who would listen about the unacceptable quality control, poor work culture, and even flagrant fraud that ran rampant at the Boeing facility where he worked in quality control for the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. So you have to question, did he take his own life in that truck, or did someone else silence him? Could speaking out against a great American company have contributed or possibly even caused his death? I'm going to review what I found, and hopefully we can figure it out together.
Okay.
Now, let's start with a broad definition of who Boeing is. The Boeing Company is an American multinational corporation that designs, manufactures, and sells airplanes, rotorcrafts, rockets, satellites, and missiles worldwide. The company also provides leasing and product support services, and Boeing is among the largest global aerospace manufacturers and is the fourth largest defense contractor in the world based on 2022 revenue, which I found shocking. I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
Yeah. And it's the largest exporter in the United States by dollar value.
Wow. Okay. Big. So this is a big company we're talking about.
A giant. Truly right. A giant.
Not somebody I think the average person would want to go up against.
No, fair. And the way the United States works, you know, these big companies, they do get a lot of pull and a lot of say as far as lobbyists and things like that. Lawmakers want them to stay here and keep creating products, right? And so There are a lot of benefits for them staying here. So again, not saying that there's anything nefarious, you know, as far as the government's concerned, but I'm just saying they have a lot of pull.
Sure.
Boeing was founded by William Boeing in Seattle, Washington on July 15, 1916, and the present corporation is the result of the merger of Boeing with McDonnell Douglas on August 1, 1997. In 2001, Boeing's corporate headquarters moved from Seattle to Chicago, and in May of 2022, Boeing announced plans to move its global headquarters from Chicago to Arlington, Virginia, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., and the company said that this decision was made in part to concentrate on its defense work with, quote, proximity to our customers and stakeholders, end quote. I'm just putting that out there. I feel like that's an interesting move.
It is very interesting.
Boeing's real claim to fame was its Boeing 737. Designed in 1964 and entering service in 1967, it has become a staple in aviation. Undergoing small changes over the decades, it has evolved to perform better, with more efficient fuel usage, top safety performance, and relatively low maintenance. It is tried and true. And because of that, it's become the most common aircraft in the world. So anybody who doesn't do a lot of air travel, more than likely, you have been on a 737. They're the most common plane out there. So if you fly anywhere domestically, you are more than likely on a 737. As of February 2024, 6,470 Boeing 737s have been ordered and 11,703 have been delivered. Now, when you're talking about multi-million dollar aircraft, this is a pretty big number.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. The Boeing 737 was such a solid performer in the world of aviation that Southwest Airlines designed its entire company around the 737. Now, you're familiar with Southwest. They're the ones, the red, the green.
And like orange.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. they have like the funny laid back flight attendants.
Yes. 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 And they're also the one like, you can't pick your seat. You got to stand in line, like you board with groups and then you kind of get your seat where you find it. It's supposed to be, again, a more laid back idea of flying.
Okay.
Not as stuffy, one of the more modern airlines.
Okay.
But in their model, they decided that they would only own 737s because only owning one type of aircraft would mean cutting costs by only training their engineers, technicians, pilots, and flight attendants on one type of aircraft. Repair parts could also be purchased in bulk, saving even more money. Southwest further designed their flights around the size and fuel efficiency of the 737. So really, this seemed like the perfect fit for both Boeing and Southwest.
It makes sense.
Right. It absolutely does. And again, because the 737 was so reliable, it seemed like the way to
Why
go.
Why not? This is the perfect aircraft to,
exactly.
to yeah. do all of our work with.
Right. So the Boeing 737 was the highest selling commercial aircraft until being surpassed by the competing Airbus A320 family in October of 2019, but it still maintains the record in total deliveries. Now, Airbus, which is a European-based company, is Boeing's only real competition. They make reliable and steady-performing aircraft in varying sizes that are perfect for many other national countries. So they just make a lot more variety.
All right, gotcha.
Now, one of the more popular models produced by Airbus is the A321, and it's a larger plane than the 737, and it offered room for more passengers. So about 10 years ago, Boeing kind of saw their missed opportunity to not get some of this market share. So they went back to the drawing board and tried to figure out how they could make a plane that would compete with the A321. Unfortunately, instead of allowing designers and engineers to design it from the ground up, they kind of wound up Frankensteining together an aircraft that could satisfy this need in the market quickly.
Always what you want to hear when you're talking about, you know, a vehicle that's going to be taking you across,
across
the world.
Yeah.
You Frankensteining. Really is the term I most love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So in essence, what they did was took enormous, albeit more fuel efficient engines and placed them on a 50-year-old airplane body, not made for the size or strength of the engines. So essentially, they just took larger engines and stuck them on their old 737. I am not an airplane designer. But I don't know if that was the smartest decision.
I mean, from a layman's perspective, it sounds not wise at all. But I have to assume these people know what they're doing.
Well, yes and no. There have been many reports that designers and engineers were forced into creating very few changes because in doing so, they would save time and money.
Okay.
The fewer changes you make, the less time and money it's going to take to make those changes. So there have been a lot of reports that there were suggestions of things they could do to make the aircraft more sound, but a lot of those were squashed because it would have taken more time to retrofit the aircraft. And they would have had to find a manufacturer to make new parts. Whereas if they just used old ones, it would be easier to assemble everything.
Okay. I see where this is going.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, leaked internal documents from 2015 to 2018 have revealed that employees who worked on what would now be called the 737 MAX, so this is the upgraded one with the larger engines, believe the design was unsound. Hundreds of internal messages showed them referring to, quote, piss poor design, end quote, and one, quote, designed by clowns, end quote, who were, quote, supervised by monkeys, end quote.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it appears that this is only the tip of the iceberg when it came to cutting corners. Poor planning, execution, and quality control made the Boeing 737 MAX into an essential death machine. The 737 MAX suffered two fatal crashes, Lion Air Flight 610 in late 2018 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 in early 2019, in which a combined 364 people died. In both crashes, the investigations revealed that a new software functioning in the flight control system designed to stabilize the planes had alternatively forced the planes into a nosedive to the earth. In the Lion Air Flight 610, investigators concluded the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or what they refer to as MCAS, was receiving erroneous data from an external device called the Angle of Attack, or the AOA sensor, which had been miscalibrated. This inaccurate data indicated the plane was angled up too steeply, and the MCAS responded by repeatedly pushing down the nose of the plane. Investigators into the crash revealed Boeing had intentionally omitted information on the MCAS from airplane documentation for air crews, so the pilots knew nothing about it, what it could do, or how to override it.
I was going to ask, this couldn't be overridden by the pilots, but I guess not if we're not even going to tell them that this is a possibility.
In the pilot's manual, I looked at the pictures. It literally says MCAS, MCAS, and then it spells out what it is, this Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, but it makes no other references to it.
I have no words already, and I know we're just starting, and I have no words. I just don't understand how people just don't care. They just don't care about the value of other lives. Like, it's all about the almighty dollar. Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, there was motivation for it, and I'll get to what that is.
Okay.
Just to really make this moment even more somber, it was reported that in the final moments of the Lion Air Flight 610, the head pilot passed the controls to his co-pilot so he could frantically leaf through the technical manual to find out what was happening to the plane. And again, this is the manual that has no information on the system.
It's just unbelievable. Heartbreaking. The responsibility that pilot felt for all of the souls on board.
And, absolutely.
You know, it's not just him and his co-pilot, but it's all of these other people and trying to do everything he can. That's just heartbreaking.
Something he was genuinely powerless to control.
Right.
Really heartbreaking. Now, days after the Lion Air crash, Boeing issued a safety bulletin providing, for the first time, details on how the anti-stall system worked and how to shut it down in case it malfunctioned.
Can you imagine being that pilot's family member and finding out that days after, you know, your loved one's death, now we're going to release this information?
Terrifying. It's genuinely terrifying.
I have no words. I keep saying that.
Yeah.
But I have no other words.
This is pretty shocking. All of this is pretty shocking to me. Questions arose. How did a company historically known to be quite vigilant in making sure that all of its systems are laid out in clear terms, both in pilot training and in aircraft manuals, miss such an important detail? Because remember, I started saying this, by the 737, before it became the MAX, but the original 737, very reliable, very well thought out, excellent training manuals. Like, what happened here?
Right.
The 737 MAX, it just seems like a flawed system from beginning to end here. So when the question of why the information was not in the manual, it was revealed that introducing a whole new system would have prompted additional instruction to be included in the 737 MAX transition training. This would have cost 737 MAX operators time and money. Subsequently, investigators found that Boeing had made an agreement with Southwest Airlines that if any of the new aircraft required simulator training, that Boeing would refund Southwest Airlines $1 million per aircraft.
And that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Enough money to put lives at risk.
And see, that's the thing I'm thinking, like, airplane crashes are not inexpensive.
Oh, no.
So was that not taken into account? I mean, we're not even just talking about like the value of the human lives. Take all that away. But just the cost of the crash, that's not inexpensive. They didn't weigh that cost.
No, the whole thing. I mean, but you can see how the pieces are starting to fall into place to make bad things happen, to make bad choices.
Yeah. Greed.
To make people into bad choices. And of course, Southwest is like, well, hey, listen. And it's, you know, I understand from their perspective, too, they don't want to have to rework their entire system. However, I mean, safety and training has to be a priority.
Duh.
Yeah, I mean, that's a simple answer. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't anyone agree with that?
I mean, this is not a insane idea.
Right. So truly, it was in Boeing's best interest. I mean, if you want to consider it that, but financially, from where they stood, it was in their best interest to persuade the FAA to allow Boeing to remove the information about the MCAS system from the flight manual. Boeing avoided revealing MCAS until pilots requested further explanation. Shockingly, in December of 2018, before the Ethiopian Airlines crash, the FAA privately predicted that MCAS would cause 15 crashes over 30 years, resulting in approximately 2,900 deaths.
That's a lot of crashes. I mean, statistically, airplane travel is supposed to be one of the safest ways to travel.
A crash every other year.
That's still a lot of crashes.
Yes, it is when you're talking about human lives. Even after the additional training materials for the MCAS were distributed to the pilots of the Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, their flight met the same fate, barreling into a town in central Ethiopia, crashing only 6 minutes after takeoff. The black box showed the pilots attempted a recovery procedure, but the MCAS remained engaged.
Even with the overwriting.
Yep. So what happens is they overwrote it. And then they received this erroneous message from this AOA system, and then it re-engaged and pointed the nose back towards the earth.
And then crashed into a village or a town.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. After the crash of Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, the Boeing 737 MAX was grounded worldwide between March 2019 and December of 2020, and even longer in many jurisdictions. In August of 2020, the FAA published requirements for fixing each aircraft and improving pilot training. On November 18, 2020, the FAA ended the 20-month grounding, the longest ever of a U.S. airliner. The accidents and grounding cost Boeing an estimated $20 billion in fines, compensation, and legal fees, with indirect losses of more than $60 billion from 1,200 canceled orders. The MAX resumed commercial flights in the U.S. in December of 2020 and was recertified in Europe and Canada by January of 2021. As for the faulty MCAS software, it has been modified and now uses both AOA sensors, not simply one. And MCAS also now only activates once rather than multiple times when a potential stall is signaled by both of the AOA sensors. It's still a little unnerving, though.
I know. I'm thinking, do we really need this whole system? Like, can we just take that out? But I guess that there's probably a good reason why it exists in the first place.
And supposedly it does help with general stabilization of the plane. Because remember, you're talking about an aircraft body that's carrying engines much larger than what it should carry. So they need more stabilization systems.
Yeah, just start over. You know what I mean?
Start over. Well, and I will tell you, many people are calling for that at this point. Like, it's just a bad product. Just start over. On January 7th of 2021, Boeing settled to pay over $2.5 billion after being charged with fraud for hiding information about the MCAS from safety regulators. Meaning regulators found Boeing deliberately deceived the FAA by downplaying the importance of the MCAS system while asking to delete it from the airplane manuals and pilot training materials.
Is someone going to go to prison for this?
Oh, no. But they did get fined.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. The fine consisted of a criminal monetary penalty of $243.6 million, $1.77 billion of damages to the airline customers and a $500 million crash victim beneficiary fund. Of the fine, Acting Assistant Attorney General David P. Burns of the Justice Department's Criminal Division said, quote, "The tragic crash of Lion Air Flight 610 and the Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 exposed fraudulent and deceptive conduct by employees of one of the world's leading commercial airplane manufacturers. Boeing's employees choose the path of profit over candor by concealing material information from the FAA concerning the operation of its 737 MAX airplane and engaging in an effort to cover up the deception. This resolution holds Boeing accountable for its employees' criminal conduct, addresses the financial impact to Boeing's airline customers, and hopefully provide some measure of compensation to the crash victims' families and beneficiaries." But still, in my opinion, someone should be held truly criminal. I mean, and they're saying it's a criminal fine, but you know what I'm saying. I feel like there should have been something else.
You are literally hiding information
that led to deaths.
Somebody needs to be going to prison.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how we're not talking about that.
Right. Now, running parallel to the train wreck of the Boeing 737 MAX is the fate of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner. Touted as being the long-haul luxury plane of the future, this wide-body jet is designed for moving large amounts of passengers long distances efficiently. So this is like the next step up, if you will, from the 737 MAX. But this is, again, it is at least designed from the ground up. However, we'll see, it wasn't without its share of problems as well.
And it's designed by Boeing, who I now no longer trust.
Yeah. I mean, it goes hand in hand, right? Right from its maiden flight on December 15th, 2009, problems plagued the Dreamliner. As units began to roll out into service, quality control came into question. Many issues stem from a faulty lithium-ion battery. Reports of batteries bursting into flames, melting, and losing power plagued the aircraft. The aircraft were subsequently grounded for months so new batteries could be retrofitted, costing airlines millions of dollars. Quality control issues came to the forefront once again in 2019, causing a production slowdown. And in an escalation of issues, the production of Boeing 787 Dreamliners all but ceased from January 2021 until August of 2022. However, orders do continue to roll in. Currently, with most of Boeing's profits hemorrhaging because of all the setbacks, the projected number of orders for the Dreamliner would indicate the program is merely at a break-even point, which I'm sure is not what they had predicted.
No.
Now, let's fast forward to this year. Boeing continues to have many shocking quality control issues, especially with that 737 MAX, which again, scrap it, start over.
So that's still our problem child.
That's the problem
child. To this day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On January 5th, Alaskan Airlines ground their 737 MAX fleet after a door plug blew out mid-air, which we have talked about on one of our episodes, because I know that's one of your fears, being sucked out of a plane.
It's literally the only thought going through my mind the entire time I'm in air is, oh, please don't let myself get sucked out.
This is just a few months ago.
It happens, people. I'm not a crazy person. It happens, as you can see here.
Now, luckily in this situation, the seat next to that left-hand panel, which contained an ordinary passenger window, was unoccupied. Because if there had been someone sitting in that seat not buckled in, this could have been way worse.
It's really, quite frankly, almost a miracle. It's a miracle nobody was sitting there. I mean, what are the odds? This is a big plane. The fact that nobody was there is, you know, a miracle.
It truly is. And thank goodness. Thank goodness. The next day, the FAA issued an Emergency Airworthiness Directive, or an EAD, mandating inspection of door plugs on all 737 MAXs, and that temporarily grounded 171 aircraft until inspections were complete.
As a result of the inspections, both United Airlines and Alaska Airlines confirmed in statements that they found loose bolts and other installation issues in the plug door in multiple aircraft.
And this is the door. This is the emergency exit door. So you don't want to sit next to emergency exit door then.
Not anymore. Well, not on the 737 MAX. And this has not happened in other aircraft, just the 737.
Again, people, start over.
Start over. Now, 6 days later, the FAA announced an investigation into Boeing's processes and operations. After their six-week audit of the 737 MAX manufacturing process, they found major faults, including, quote, mechanics at one of its suppliers using a hotel key card and dish soap as makeshift tools to test compliance, end quote.
I don't even know what that means. What?
Yeah. So they're basically making parts. And what I understand, like the key card, they were kind of using a hotel key card to test seals around the plane.
And the soap maybe to see if there was air or something like that.
I understand they were using it as like some kind of like lubricant. And it was like Dawn dish soap. That should not be what we're using right now.
Don't worry, folks. We used a hotel key card and some Dawn dish soap on your Airbus.
I don't know. I feel like they're one step down from like duct tape and bubble gum, you know? Like, wait, we're going back.
I just don't even know what this means.
Like, scary. That's what it means. Now, overall, Boeing failed 33 out of 89 product audits.
No. Yeah.
And these product audits were designed to review specific aspects of the production line, and a total of 97 counts of alleged noncompliance.
Well, I mean, it failed more than a third of the audits.
That's right.
And that, I mean, wow. Okay.
Okay. Now that we know all that, let's go back to John Barnett.
Well, I definitely see a motive for murder. And the, listen, I don't put it past any of these people.
Well,
because they have blood on their hands already.
They've already not set themselves up to look great in public opinion.
Right.
I'll give it that. John Barnett worked at Boeing for 32 years. And the last seven, from 2010 to 2017, he was at the Charleston, South Carolina plant where the 787 Dreamliner was manufactured. He worked in the quality control department, where one would assume they were concerned about quality control.
And it sounds like he may have been.
He was. Right. Didn't know than anybody else was.
But how hard would that be if you are literally seeing this and you actually are a good person and you're seeing stuff that should not be passing being ignored and you have to go home every night and try to sleep?
Well, this is allegedly what happened. Exactly what happened with John Barnett. In 2016, he started seeing and reporting a few things that concerned him. John claimed that workers were not following procedures when it came to tracking components, which led to lost parts, which eventually led to non-compliant or damaged parts being used in their place.
It's okay. We'll just like, you know, put some Dawn soap on it. It'll be fine. You got your hotel key card.
Exactly. When he reported this to his bosses, he was directed to complete his paperwork as if everything was in place.
No.
He claimed that the fabricated paperwork and usage of defective parts was simply to prevent delays in production. In an independent review of his claim in 2017, a Federal Aviation Administration report determined that at least 53, quote, non-conforming, end quote, parts were indeed missing and ordered Boeing to take corrective action.
So that's good, though, right? Like, there's 53 things that are being fixed here. They didn't pass. We're going to fix it.
Right. But it took him going outside of Boeing.
To get it done. Okay. Right.
After John's internal complaints to Boeing, a senior manager allegedly downgraded John for, quote, using email to express process violations, end quote, in place of face-to-face communication,
which John took to mean that you shouldn't put problems in writing.
Right. We're going to fire the one guy here doing his job or demote. Exactly. The one guy doing his job.
Exactly.
And don't put our fault in writing.
Wow. Yeah. The manager also pushed John to get better at, quote, working in the gray areas and help find a way while maintaining compliance, end quote. Yeah. These are real gems.
I wonder if any of these people would actually ride on these planes.
Actually, no, they would not. There was a study done.
Okay.
A survey. And none of them would ride on them.
Curious.
So if that gives you any indication.
Okay.
Yeah. And listen, John wasn't alone. And a 2014 Al Jazeera investigative TV special titled Broken Dreams, the Boeing 787, current and retired Boeing employees discussed their worries about quality control. In a leaked video, several Boeing employees claimed colleagues were on hard drugs, including cocaine and meth, while they were working.
I believe it.
In the footage, Al Jazeera records one man saying, quote, it's all coke and painkillers, end quote. Adding, quote, you can get weed here. You can get some really good weed here, end quote.
They need it to be able to get on this plane.
Right? Another employee who spoke on condition of anonymity complained that Boeing don't drug test nobody, end quote. Adding that, quote, there's people that go out there on lunch and smoke one up, end quote.
I do feel like this is probably the kind of job where if you are going to drug test, and hey, I'm one of those, like, you do you, don't hurt anybody, like, what you do in your own time, that's on you. However, you should probably not be high or drunk when designing parts of an airplane or creating, building, putting together an airplane, any of the above.
That seems like a fair statement.
Okay, so I'm not wrong.
That seems fair.
Okay, all right.
Now, in this Al Jazeera special TV investigation, they found 10 people right off the bat that said they would never ride on the aircraft on which they were operating.
I mean, yeah.
In a statement at the time, Boeing said, quote, drug testing of employees is done in accordance with Boeing. Boeing thoroughly investigates any employee reports of policy deviation and appropriate corrective action is taken if needed, end quote.
Like if you put our fault in writing, we're going to immediately demote you.
That's right. That's kind of what I gather from that quote there. But John persisted in his pursuit of better quality control.
Thank goodness for John.
Thank goodness for John. In a later statement to the New York Times, John said, quote, as a quality manager at Boeing, you're the last line of defense before a defect makes it out to the flying public. And I haven't seen a plane out of Charleston yet that I'd put my name on saying it's safe and airworthy, end quote. Terrifying.
There's no other word other than terrifying.
Yeah. Most controversial was John's open discussion of, quote, clusters of metal slivers hanging out over the wiring that commands the flight controls, end quote. John told the New York Times that if those, quote, sharp slivers, quote, penetrated the wiring, the results could be, quote, catastrophic.
I mean, yes, that makes perfect sense. And are these slivers, like, this is part that's being, like, hit with air when it's flying? Are they exposed on the outside of the plane, or do you know?
According to what I understand, they are kind of like metal shards, mm-hmm. like from like drilling rivets and stuff.
Okay.
And they're just kind of sitting on the floor. So if they are jostled or moved okay. around or hit with air or in some other way come in contact with the wiring, it could possibly cause a short.
Right.
And so he just said, hey, we should probably just remove these slivers.
Sure.
And Boeing brushed it off like it wasn't a big deal.
Okay.
He stated that he repeatedly urged his bosses to take action on these slivers, but they instead transferred him to another part of the plant.
Sure.
In 2017, the FAA issued a directive mandating removal of shavings pre-delivery, Boeing claimed that they were complying and working to improve the design to avoid the issues, but determined that the issue was not a flight safety issue. But of course, nobody took any notice when John reported it internally. It wasn't until the FAA heard of it that then they took action.
Right.
And I'm kind of seeing this as a trend.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, none of this is surprising me anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. John claims his repeated reporting of safety issues at the plant only led to his own harassment and gaslighting by upper management, which forced him into early retirement in 2017, a full decade before he had planned to step away. John filed a whistleblower complaint with the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, as I'm sure you're familiar with, in 2017, which was closed by the agency in favor of Boeing after a 4-year investigation.
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh? John filed an appeal against the decision, though, and it's still pending as of now, March of 2024. So it was reopened.
Okay. And it's still
pending.
It is interesting to me that they closed it the first time, because I would assume OSHA does a pretty thorough investigation.
I would assume. But understanding kind of how Boeing worked with, you know, kind of smoke and mirrors, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? They could have done a absolutely thorough investigation and they didn't find any merit to John's reports. Or I don't know. Maybe there's something else nefarious going on. Again, I don't know the answers. I'm just reporting the facts as I found them.
Right.
In 2019, John began publicly discussing malpractices of Boeing with several news agencies, specifically the BBC and the New York Times. When John began to go more public with his concern with safety and work culture at the Boeing plant, Boeing pushed back by discrediting John wherever they could. In response, in 2021, John filed an AIR 21 lawsuit against Boeing. Now, according to an OSHA report, an AIR 21 provides retaliation protection for employees of air carriers, certain aircraft manufacturers and designers, and employees of their contractors, subcontractors, or suppliers. So essentially, this is a special whistleblower act for those that work in aviation, because the government has figured out how incredibly important it is to know if there's a safety issue going on in air travel. I mean, it's so critical to our country that we need to know.
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
Now in 2024, so here we are this year, John doubled down on issuing warnings against Boeing's work culture and aircraft safety. In early March, so just a few weeks ago, John was back in Charleston, South Carolina with his attorneys for a deposition relating to his defamation lawsuit. He refused to back down from his complaints of real safety issues within the culture of Boeing. On March 8th, just 3 weeks ago, John had completed 2 days of grueling questioning by both his attorney and that of Boeing's in preparation for their June trial. He had retired to his hotel, the Holiday Inn, in order to relax before his third day of depositions. According to John's lawyers, quote, John was in the midst of a deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which finally was nearing the end. He was in very good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on, end quote. When John didn't respond to a friend's phone call the following day, a welfare check was called in. That's when the Charleston police found John at 10:20 a.m. on March 9th in his truck, apparently dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But immediately, his death seemed out of place. John's lawyer stated, quote, "We didn't see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it. We are all devastated. We need more information about what happened to John. The Charleston police need to investigate this fully and accurately and tell the public what they find. No detail can be left unturned." Now, for them to make a public statement like that, I feel like they feel strongly that something nefarious happened.
Absolutely.
And at this point, the way that you're looking at me, I think you think something did too.
I know that we
suicide is one of those things that you often just don't see coming, and it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But this really doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he personally wasn't on trial. Like, he wasn't the one literally under the magnifying glass. If you're planning on killing yourself, why do it in the middle of depositions? Like, why just...
It's very odd. Why go through 2 days and here you are trying to go through your third day? Like, why... Like, the timing is very odd.
Very odd. I would really love to hear more about, like, what had been covered in those days, what was yet to be discussed.
Yeah.
Were forensics able to tell anything about, like, the way his body was found and the gun in his hand? Have they been able to, have they released anything about that yet? Does it line up with the suicide?
Not very much. And that's why I say this is truly, I mean, a current event, an ever evolving story. John's family told NPR that his case against Boeing was heading to trial in June, adding that John was, quote, looking forward to having his day in court and hope that it would force Boeing to change its culture, end quote. That's another thing. I felt like he had a mission, like he had a goal.
Well, and he's been saying this for years now. I mean, he retired early. He doesn't seem to be someone who like backs off under the slightest bit of pressure. So that really doesn't make sense. Like he's a tough guy. He's brave.
He kept doubling down,
right?
Saying, no, I believe in this. I believe in this.
And he's willing to stand up against the man for what he believes in. Yeah, it doesn't add up for me.
Yeah. And to your point, his attorney said, quote, John was a brave, honest man of the highest integrity. He cared deeply about his family, his friends, the Boeing company, his Boeing co-workers, and the pilots and people who flew on Boeing aircraft. We have rarely met someone with a more sincere and forthright character, end quote.
That's really heartbreaking. That's really, I'm so sad for his family. I'm so angry for his family.
Even if it was suicide, it's like the actions that were taken against him, the things that he saw, the his current situation was really created by Boeing.
That has kind of been running around in my head that even if it was what it appears to be, suicide, I still think Boeing has his blood on their hands.
Yeah. As for Boeing, they simply issued the statement, quote, we are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing and our thoughts are with his family and friends.
Oh, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. I hate to be cynical, so I am sorry, but I am sure you are.
Speculation surrounding Boeing's involvement has kind of run rampant, with many believing Boeing reached its breaking point with John and possibly played a part in his death.
I mean, they played a part in so many other deaths, quite frankly. Boeing as a whole has not made me feel like they care about the well-being of others.
Especially not what it has turned into. I think the company that it was originally did, but I think they've changed.
Sure, sure. And that's not to say everybody who works at Boeing is, you know.
Of course not. But there are definitely decision makers who have really cut corners at the cost of lives.
Yes.
At this point, the Charleston Police Department is treating John's death as a possible homicide.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah. From what we have been told, the scene of his death was thoroughly processed, including the lifting of fingerprints. As of yet, the details of the note left beside John that some were referring to as a suicide note have not been made public. So we have no idea what was written on that note.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if it was just a blatant suicide note, that... Why not release that to the public?
Maybe. And again, this is so new. I mean, this just happened like 2 weeks ago.
Right, right, right.
Is it really possible that a great American aviation company is responsible for a whistleblower's death? I mean, it seems unfathomable to talk about, but in the broader picture, Boeing did have much to lose if John's lawsuit had gone all the way to trial in June of this year. It would mean kind of all the secrets would be made public, including what would be the sworn testimonies of several Boeing administration, right? They were going to get deposed too, under oath. Perhaps eliminating the, quote, problem was an easier solution, even though I would contend the problem is the 737 MAX, not John Barnett. But really, it's just the whole culture.
Well, and who's to say that after this trial, and as more things were potentially discovered, maybe there wouldn't be criminal charges made against some of these really powerful decision makers, if you will. And who's to say that there wasn't even more to lose than we're even aware of?
Well, that elimination of that MCAS system from the training manual, and I will say there is a further deep dive that we could do about this, I'll call it just on a positive note, a symbiotic relationship between Boeing and the FAA. But there has been much discussion about their relationship being a little bit too close.
I don't know that I want to hear that information, Stephanie.
I do think it probably played a part in this as well. And so I think if there was further investigation, I think the FAA is partly to blame for a good amount of this too. They have allowed things to go at Boeing that they should not have. And there's also this very interesting dynamic where what happened is there are employees that kind of work for both organizations. Mm. So their paycheck is from Boeing, but they work as agents for the FAA.
So it's a conflict.
There is absolutely a conflict. And this was done, originally it was done because the FAA doesn't need to be involved in every single thing like paint and, you know, caution signs and things like that. And so it was made to kind of speed up the process, mm-hmm. right? But now these agents are responsible for larger things. And it's truly a conflict.
Wow. Which means there could be potentially even more people who do not want John's testimony coming to light.
And so now you're talking about not just Boeing, but possibly government agencies involved as well.
Which, okay, whole rabbit hole here.
Whole rabbit hole. Well,
we can do a season on
yeah.
just this subject.
Even though, again, I want to be able to travel by plane at some point in my life again. So maybe I don't want to know anymore. Maybe ignorance is bliss.
That's why I said, I don't think I want you to share any further information, because you are right, Stephanie. You were absolutely right last night. I hate this.
Yeah. So this case and truly mystery is still very much alive. Actually, just a few days ago, Dave Calhoun, the current CEO of Boeing, announced that he will step down as CEO. And there are rumors about other higher-ups following suit.
Well, good.
Yeah. But are they stepping down as a result of their current manufacturing shortcomings or the airplane disasters or the PR nightmare created by John's death?
Yeah. I would say to appease the masses, that doesn't really fix the problem.
That doesn't fix the problem, though.
Right.
Exactly. Now, I believe more facts will come out and we will do our best to pass those on as they come available. Because, again, we only have a short few days between us recording this episode and releasing it. But who knows? More things could have happened between now and then.
Right.
More things could have been uncovered or exposed. But this at least gives you the background of how we got to this point and why you're seeing this whistleblower articles coming up. And it's been years in the making.
Wow. Well, Stephanie, as much as I hated to hear all this, thank you so much for bringing this information, because I do think we deserve to know this. And as Stephanie said, this is like a hot topic. It's very, very current, literally happening as you listen to this. So yeah, tune in, because I'm sure there'll be some updates.
Yeah, it's a little unnerving when you have one of these, I mean, manufacturing giants, you know, caught up in really a scandal like this, conspiracy theory. And I truly hope that we don't find there's more affiliation between John's death and them purposely omitting information and things. You know, I mean, hopefully they were just human oversights, even though, I don't know, a lot of these facts don't really indicate that. I'd like to see the best in people, and I'm hoping that that continues to come out, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
You keep hoping for that, Stephanie.
But yeah, I found this totally enlightening, and I am obsessed now.
Okay. Well, do you have any trips on the schedule where you will be flying?
Well, my family is traveling to Europe in September.
Okay.
But we will not be on a 737 MAX. Okay. I can tell you that. Pretty much I'm going to elect only Airbus. That all is right. the only aircraft I'm willing to fly on. So that's your safe one. Okay. And again, the general 737s, I mean, outside of, you know, maintenance issues that may pop up, but a general 737 is still a pretty solid aircraft. But stay away from the 737 MAXs.
And are they still flying right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, as of literally today, the day we're recording, but who knows? That could
change. Right. Yeah, absolutely. But and I kind of hope it does.
Yeah, well, they were grounded just a year and a half ago.
Right.
But now they're back up flying. And again, there are still more orders for them. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted, Shiver Seekers. Now, again, this is a special report, special edition. So our format has changed a little bit. Normally, the first episode of the month, we let you know about our Branch of Hope Foundation nonprofit sponsored organization. And we're moving it now to next week. That's going to be the Kathleen Fulbig case. And oh my gosh, what a riveting case. I don't want to give away too much, but it does involve some instances of childhood illness. So the organization that we're sponsoring this month is the Translational Genomics Research Institute, or called TGen. And what they do is work on diagnosing and finding cures for rare childhood illnesses. So we're going to tell you much more about that next week, but just know that's who we're sponsoring this month. You can get involved by supporting this organization directly by heading either to our website or our social media platforms. And as always, a portion of proceeds from our Patreon and sponsors will go directly to TGen. We will be supporting them all month. So we appreciate your attention to this wonderful organization as well. And again, thank you for letting us move our structure a little bit, but we felt it was timely. We are still simply a podcast leading through words and actions. And if you love this episode, love us, or love what we are doing at the Branch of Hope Foundation, please like and subscribe and tell someone and forward this episode to a friend who might like it. Listen, everybody needs to know what's going on at Boeing right now. So forward this episode.
Spread the word. Please send us an email at thedarkoakpodcast@gmail.com. We are open to your questions, comments, and anything else you want to share. And for other ways to connect, hop on over to thedarkoak.com.
And definitely remember to come back next week for Kathleen Fulbig. Again, completely riveting. And we love you guys. Thanks for listening, Shiver Seekers. You guys rock.
Bye.
This episode of The Dark Oak was created, researched, written, recorded, hosted, edited, published, and marketed by Cynthia and Stephanie of Just Us Gals Productions, and made possible by you, our shiver-seeking listener. Special thanks goes to Justice Himes for our incredible artwork and Ryan Crete for our amazing music.